Let's read together our text for this evening, 1 Peter 1, verses 14 through 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. If I were to ask you, beloved, what the key word is in our text, you should say, holy. Our English Bibles contain the word holy here four times. And along these lines, the key command of our text is, Be ye holy. That's the command found twice in this passage. Verse 15, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And again, verse 16, Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. The word holy, four times. The command, Be ye holy, two times, and then all the other five clauses of the text modify and explain the command, Be ye holy. Look with me at the start of verse 14. Be ye holy as obedient children. Be ye holy, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. Again, verse 15, Be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Then verse 16, Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. It's all about holiness, and this command, Be ye holy. Twice God says that to us here. He unfolds the command, he explains it, he enforces it with encouragements and reasons because he wants us to take it seriously and obey it. This call, Be ye holy. And we must hear this call from God to us tonight. Jehovah speaks. Be ye holy, is what he says, for I am holy. And we're going to listen by God's grace and obey. Be ye holy. First, the meaning, and second, the reason. The meaning and the reason for be ye holy. This subject of holiness is a vital one in divine revelation. Holiness is an attribute or perfection of God. Not one of the ones we looked at in the series on God's glorious perfections, but a perfection and attribute nonetheless. And maybe we will look at it in a later series on God's character. The third person of the Holy Trinity has holy in his name. He's the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus confronts us in the pages of the Scriptures as one who is perfectly holy. Hebrews 7:26 describes him as holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And the holiness of Christ is vitally concerned with his sinlessness. Holiness too is part of the threefold image of God in man. The image of God consists in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. But then the image of God was lost at the fall and it turned into the opposite. Ignorance of God unrighteousness and unholiness, which is the image of Satan. But then, holiness is restored to us in our salvation in Jesus Christ. This is the great work of sanctification, God's making us holy once more and restoring us to His image. And if we think of the church, holiness is one of the four attributes of the church. We confess this. I believe one holy, Catholic, or universal, and apostolic church. And so the holy God, through the holy Christ, and by the Holy Spirit, makes unholy man holy again in sanctification and a part of his holy church. And then, of course, all of God's holy people in his holy church will dwell in perfect holiness in the new heavens and the new earth. That's a brief summary of the main themes of Scripture from the perspective of holiness. What about the Bible? Do we not rightly call it the Holy Bible or Holy Scripture, the whole thing? And within the 66 books of the Bible, one biblical book is especially concerned with holiness. Leviticus. Leviticus, from which verse 16 is quoted. Peter knew the scripture. He knew where to go to in the Old Testament if you want to understand holiness. He quotes Leviticus, a verse found in various forms throughout the book. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And Leviticus speaks about holiness in its Old Testament shadow form of ceremonial holiness, connection with the sacrifices and the priesthood and the tabernacle, but all that as a picture of real spiritual holiness. And for that purpose, Peter quotes it. There is perhaps another biblical book which is especially shaped by a vision of holiness, keyword vision, and that's Isaiah. Holy, holy, holy is the cry of the seraphs in Isaiah chapter 6, whereupon the prophet wails, woe is me, for I am undone. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and am myself a man of unclean lips. And this awesome vision remained with Isaiah and is expressed particularly in that name that he especially uses for God, the Holy One of Israel. And so the Bible is a holy book revealing holy truths. But what is holiness? Is holiness obedience? No. For one thing, we can't talk about a holy Bible if holiness equals obedience, because the Bible isn't obedient. We can't say God is holy if holiness is obedience, because God has no one to obey. Holiness is closely related to obedience in angels and men. Christ's holiness, angelic holiness, the believer's holiness, the church's holiness, they're all proportional to our obedience to God. But holiness is not obedience. Is holiness then purity? We're getting warmer, but this isn't exactly it either. Holy persons are pure. Christ, the Spirit, the saint, the church, But holiness is not exactly purity. Very close though, but not exactly. Holiness is consecration to God. Holiness consists of two parts, the negative and the positive, making it easy for us to remember. It's separation from all that is common or from all that is sinful. That's the negative part. And it is devotion to Jehovah. And this is clearly the case with Christ and the angels and the saints and the church, separate from sin and devoted to the Most High. And this fits too with the Bible, Holy Scriptures, because the Bible is called the Holy Bible because it is set apart from all other books. It is a book. See, got a front and a back, there's pages in it, it's a book. But it's different from all other books because it's the only book that is God-breathed, infallible, that teaches us directly from the mouth of God the truth. Set apart from all other books and devoted exclusively to God's glory. And then the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is so called because He is the consecrated or devoted Spirit in the Godhead. It goes like this. The Father is devoted to the Son in the Holy Spirit, and the Son is consecrated to the Father in the Holy Spirit. He's not called holy because He's purer than the first or second persons. They're all infinitely pure. But because He is, in His personal role in the Godhead, the consecration between the first two persons. And if we come to holiness with respect to God, as the holy God, His holiness is not merely that He's pure, though holiness leads to that and entails that, but His holiness is His devotion to Himself. God's holiness is His saying, in effect, I'm the one true God. And I am infinitely and eternally blessed and happy and rich, and I live for my own glory. I'm devoted to myself. God's holiness is His jealous, 100% zeal for His own glory. God is earnest. He means business in that He wills the magnification of His own name. And He achieves it too in every instance. And He lets us into the secret and shows how He glorified Himself, especially in the last day, but He gives us hints and clues in the Bible right now. His holiness is His infinite desire to glorify Himself. And that's why thousands of years ago there was a man called Pharaoh. God said, I raised him up to devastate his land, to drown him in the Red Sea, so that my power might be declared throughout all the earth. Because God's holy. He wishes to magnify Himself, so He planned Pharaoh and he drowned him. Now you may say, that's selfish. That's selfish on God's part. That's even infinitely selfish for someone, God, to seek His own glory and not to do it sometimes, not to do it fairly often, not to do it most of the time, but to do it all the time, and to do it brazenly, openly, consistently, and 100% of the time. Isn't that selfishness in God? No. It would be selfish of us, and it is selfishness in us, to seek our own glory because it's not befitting for us, because we're worms and we're pathetic But we get puffed up in our pride and think we are something. But for God to seek His own glory all the time, passionately, sincerely, that's right. That's entirely appropriate. That's absolutely necessary. And it's virtuous. It's virtuous in God to be holy, to be dedicated wholly to His own glory. It would be wrong for God not to be concerned with His own glory. It would mean that He wasn't really God at all. God seeks His own glory because He's worth it all, and He knows His own worth, and He pursues it vehemently and zealously. He's the infinitely rich Creator and Lord over all, and He says, I will be glorified. And that's why He sent His Son into the world. And that was the Son's great task, to glorify the Father which sent Him. That's why God saves the church. This people have I formed for my glory. Nobody else was doing it. Nobody else would do it. So God then redeemed a people to show forth His praise. Because He's holy, devoted to His glory, and He will that some men sing His praises too. And now we're in a position to understand the meaning of the command of our text. Be ye holy. By all means be pure, and this command will lead to that. But first of all it means, be devoted to me with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. And let it not be the case that there's anything in you which isn't devoted to me. That's what it means. You've got to be separate, totally, spiritually, from all sin and evil, from the world, from the flesh, from the false church, and from the devil. Totally. And then, positively, you must be consecrated to me in your family, with all your power, with all your energy, with all your resources, with all that you have and own, devoted to my cause. And that's why, in part, we have offerings. Not only because there are expenses in the church, but because it's an indication that when we give part to God, that really we're devoting ourselves to Him. Because He isn't interested so much in money. He says, my son, give me thine heart. That's the idea. This call, be ye holy, is of course, therefore, a call to progressive holiness. We like progressive, certainly, in this sense. The progressive means more and more. And as you read the Heidelberg Catechism, you'll see that phrase keeps cropping up, more and more. The call to be holy is a call for progressive holiness, a greater and greater union with God and devotion to His cause, an ever-increasing union in which you don't say, this far and no further. You say, nearer, closer, deeper with the Lord. You don't drag your heels. You run. You run in the way of God's commandments. That's the idea. Be ye holy. So that more and more we are weaned from worldliness. More and more. And more we're devoted to the triune God. And then it's from this that flows the related idea of increased purity. As consecrated to the Lord our God, we live in purity and avoid the filth of the world and our own flesh. And then we grow in devotion to our covenant God and increase in purity. This command, of course, is a wide one. It comes to men and women and children. Be ye holy. God in Christ does not address the church and say, anybody here under 15, you don't have to be holy. Wait until you grow up a little bit. God says that your age is no opt-out clause. Be ye holy, everybody, because it's a lordly command. Forsake your sin, all of it, and dedicate yourself to your faithful Savior and obey Him as He commands in His Word. The Scripture itself here is all embracing. It says, verse 15, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And that doesn't leave anything out. Be ye holy in all your conduct and behavior. All of it. What type of music you listen to? Be ye holy. What you watch on TV, if you have one, be ye holy. In all manner of conversation. What your children watch on TV, if you have one, be ye holy. The sort of stuff you paste on Facebook, if you do that, be ye holy. In all manner of conversation. You don't say, well, I can be holy in all these things, but there's a little bit of my life where I'm just going to wallow like a pig in my sins. And nobody else knows about it. I'm going to section that little bit off and just defile myself and fulfill all my lusts. I'm going to be holy in 99% of my conversation, but not all of it. It doesn't work like that. If you do try and do that, you try and keep your sin within bounds, it'll break through the fence and it'll encroach more and more into other things until the God who sees in secret makes it very, very public. You don't try that. The way of destruction. Be holy in all your conduct because of the lordship of God. He controls all. And so he says, you must think the truth. Don't indulge in lies. Don't deceive yourself. Think truth. Speak the truth. Obey the word. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation every day of the week, and not just when you're in a suit in church listening to the Word of God, but the other 6 days too. Jesus Christ is Lord. And then do it, of course, when you're at school. You don't say, be ye holy in catechism class, but on the Monday morning everybody else lives wickedly. And it'd be impossible to be holy here. No, be holy there too. And do it at work. And in the home. And when you play. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord of us. And Lord of our time. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And Sarah did this. Sarah was holy in all manner of conversation in the home, even when she was making dinner for guests, even in her marriage. 1 Peter 3 verse 5, for after this manner, in the old times, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, showed their beauty, by being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Holiness in the home, making dinner, in the marriage, the mother of the women of the church. This command, be ye holy, not only embraces all, as the command is amplified, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, but it's also stated here, very definitely and deliberately, as an antithetical command. This is what you must do, and you must not do this. 1 Peter 1 verse 14 says, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. That's the negative. And the positive is, be ye holy. Be ye holy, positive, and don't fashion yourself after your former lusts in your ignorance. Now, ignorance here doesn't mean rudeness. It doesn't refer to ignorance of the things of this world, for there are many unbelievers more knowledgeable of civil, earthly, natural things than we are. But it refers to the ignorance of the true God and His covenant and ways. You once didn't know and love and serve God. The former lusts refers to our will, just as the ignorance indicates our intellect. The former lusts are the fallen will. And lusts, you understand, are sinful desires. And sinful desires take two forms. One is inordinate desires for lawful things. And the other one is desires for unlawful things. There are some desires which are per se sinful. There is no lawful or good way to desire somebody else's wife, but you can have an inordinate desire for something which is of itself good. Everybody has a right desire for food, but you don't have to stuff your face like a pig. Sinful desires, that's the idea here. And these lusts are called former lusts. That is, the lusts of the old life. The lusts of the old life before you were converted and knew Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So the command to be holy includes this prohibition: you must not fashion yourself after these former lusts and after the ignorance of your old life. You mustn't pattern yourself, shape your thinking and behavior, mold your outlook and approach and values in life after your former fallen way of thinking and willing, in which you didn't know God and abode in darkness, and in which you lusted in uncleanness with evil affections for forbidden things and in an inordinate way. And our text presents this as the contrast with holiness. Things you put off. Think now the positive and negative in conversion. The former lusts, the ignorance of Jehovah, all those things mean that before we were converted, we were devoted and consecrated and served the wrong thing. We were on the wrong path. We were pursuing the wrong goals, and we were devoted to the ungodly world, our sinful flesh, and our own pleasures. And you could sum that up in one word: we were selfish. And we still are too. Not as much, but we are. Selfishness. Ignorance of Jehovah. Living in darkness of God. And once you don't know God, you don't know yourself. And you don't understand the world. And then these former lusts. They're my former lusts or your former lusts. They're all the things that we want that are evil, that we think will bring us happiness and pleasure. But they don't. They destroy us. That's the contrast with holiness. The former lusts and ignorance. And so the call, be ye holy, means no longer consecrate your life and your activities and thinking just for yourself. Nobody will tell me what to do. I want to get my way, and I'll manipulate others so that I get it. I'll tell lies and deceive people because my interests come first. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, the selfishness which is the essence of man spiritually has fallen. Not doing that, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy, consecrated to Jehovah and his kingdom, serving Jesus Christ and his church. You can't do both. You must do one, and you must put off the other one. Be ye holy. This is what the Ten Commandments are about. The first four commandments: have God as your only God, serve him the way he tells you in the word, keep all your oaths and vows that are lawful. You don't have to keep sinful, wicked vows, of course. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's about devoting yourself to God. And the other six commandments are about loving your neighbour in his possessions and in his name. And you do that not because when you reach the second table you lapse into humanism. Oh no. You do that for God's sake. This is what the Lord Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. Make it holy, consecrated in our hearts. May thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth. And the other three petitions, giving us daily bread, forgiving us our sins, and leading us not into temptation, the idea is that we pray these things that God may enable us thereby to serve him so that we seek the glory of his name and kingdom and will. We pray. We maintain our private devotions too in the seeking of holiness. And the reason we must obey this command is first of all that it's in Scripture. Verse 15, be ye holy. Verse 16, God says, in case you missed it, be ye holy. And it's a command which is quoted from Leviticus. Do this because it is written. And it's been there, Peter says to his first readers, inspired Scripture for 1500 years. God said it. So we must do it. And to go deeper into the reason of why we must be holy, it rests ultimately on the nature of God, which means that it has the deepest possible reason. It goes back to who God is. Be ye holy, not only, says God, because this is the only way in which a child of God can experience joy and be blessed. It's worth noting, though, it is the only way in which you can be happy as a Christian. Be ye holy, not only because it encourages the other saints, and it does. It encourages them greatly. Be ye holy, not simply because it benefits the church, and it does, and especially the office bearers see that, it definitely benefits the church. Your growth in grace is of great encouragement to all the other members of the body. Be ye holy, not only because it's a good witness to unbelievers, and it is, and if you're not holy, it stinks. But be ye holy because of who God is. Verse 16 says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be holy to be like me. Imitate me, whom you love. That's the command. And now we come back to the idea of the holiness of God, his infinite love and zeal for himself. Be like me, God says in this command. Burn for my glory as I burn for my glory. be passionate for my name and my kingdom and my will and my church and my son and my truth, because I am, says the triune God. And from this nature of God as holy proceeds his saving holy call to us. Verse 15 begins, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy." And literally it says, "As the Holy One hath called you." Since the Holy God called you, you must be holy. And this call isn't merely the external call of the gospel that all hear, elect and reprobate, believing and unbelieving. This is what is called the effectual call. And the effectual call which draws us onto salvation is at the selfsame time a holy call, a call which by its very nature makes us holy. God has saved us, 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 affirms, with a holy calling, a calling which makes us holy because it's the call of the Holy God who puts himself and his own character into his call and makes it effectual. Which means that the Christian can't say, "Well, I can't be holy. Where do I have the resources to be holy?" The Christian, by definition, is one who is empowered by God's grace to be holy. That's part of being a Christian. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says that we are elect and chosen in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. Somebody who isn't holy isn't elect. In Titus 2 verse 14, Christ gave himself for us on the cross to save to himself a holy people. And those who aren't holy, Christ did not die for them. Or maybe, to cover all the bases logically, someone's not holy yet, but Christ did die for them, and then later the person will be effectually called and made holy. And in 1 Peter 1 verse 2, we read that the church here is called the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification, or through the making holy of us by the Spirit. And you'll know too that the most frequent word for Christian in the Bible is a saint. And a saint is one who is holy, that is, devoted to the service of God and not living and walking in sin. And so our text also says at the start of verse 14, "Be ye holy," quote, "as obedient children." You can be holy not merely because God has given you an effectual holy call, but because God has made you a child of his by regeneration. Chapter 1 verse 3, "By God's abundant mercy, he's caused you to be born again." Chapter 1 verse 23, we looked at that a few weeks ago, says that we're born again out of an incorruptible seed, which God places in our hearts, the seed of life. And this regeneration of us as children is the source of hope in us. The seed makes us hope. It's the source of love in us. And it is the source of holiness in us. We believe that Christ died for our sins to the end that he put that incorruptible seed of holiness in us so that we will be holy, not perfectly, but progressively and victoriously. We will make progress.
We will develop. We will grow. And so we can obey.
Hopeful strangers. Holy strangers. And holy because the God who called us and regenerated us makes us holy and says to us through his word tonight, be ye holy, for I am holy, and I will make you holy. Be active. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and devote yourself to me. Amen.